He forbade his soul from desires.
Ibn Hazm relates that a young man, handsome man, had a very close friend, and they trusted each other so much that all barriers of caution were removed from between them. The young man one day intended to spend the night at his friend's house. In the middle of the night, the host had an important errand to run outside of the house. And when he did not return, it was understood that he would probably return on the following day. His young guest, however, was still in the house, and so was the beautiful wife of the host, who was approximately the same age as the young man. When she knew that it was not possible for her husband to return on that night, her heart yearned for the young man that was staying as a guest. She appeared before him in his room and invited him to take her. At first, he intended to do as she asked, and then his wits returned to him, and he did something strange indeed. He put his finger in the lamp, covered his finger with fire, and all the while he was saying to himself, "Taste this, and how can this be compared to the fire of hell?" The woman was terrified to witness that scene, but ever so quickly she invited him again to herself, and again his desire returned. But he did the same as before, and by the time that the morning came, one could have witnessed that the fire of the lamp had completely destroyed his finger.
Truth and lying.
Allah, the Exalted, says in the Noble Quran about the basic qualities of a believer.
O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do.
Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was asked, "Can a believer be a miser?" He said, "Yes." He was asked, "Can a believer be a coward?" He said, "Yes." And he was asked, "And can a believer be a liar?" He said, "No." It has been related that a man went to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed, I do three sins in secret. I drink alcohol, fornication, and lying. So inform me which of them I should abandon." He said, "Leave off lying." The man went away and later desired to fornicate, but he thought to himself, "I will go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will ask me whether I fornicated. If I say yes, he will punish me. And if I say no, I will have broken the covenant and lied." So he abstained from fornicating, and the same occurred regarding alcohol. He returned to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed, I have abandoned all of them." "My brother, do you not see then that lying is the root of every wicked deed, and it leads to all other sins? You will not see anyone more miserable and wretched than the liar. And disbelief is the most severe kind of lying, for it is lying upon Allah."
Qutaybah and his prisoner.
Abu Ubaidah relates that a number of people were presented to Al-Hajjaj. They were all accused of rebelling against him, and so he ordered that they all be executed. Because the time of prayer had arrived, there remained one from them who was still not executed. Al-Hajjaj said to Qutaybah ibn Muslim, "He shall remain with you, and you will bring him to us early tomorrow." Qutaybah said, "I went and took the man with me, and as we were on our way, he said, 'Qutaybah, do you wish to do a good deed?' I asked, 'And what is that?' He said, 'I have things that were trusted to me by people, and your companion, Al-Hajjaj, will surely kill me.' Let me go free so that I may return each item to its rightful owner. And Allah is my guarantor that I will return to you tomorrow. I was amazed at what he said, and I laughed at him. He then repeated for a second time the same words and said, By Allah, I will return to you. He continued and persisted in the same manner until finally I said, Go. When he left, and when I could no longer see him, I returned to my senses and said, What did you do to yourself, O Qutayba? I returned to my family and spent the night, which seemed to last forever. In the morning, there was a man knocking at our door, and when I went to open it, there stood before me the same man from the day before. I said, You have returned. He said, I made Allah as a guarantor, and then why should I not return? I took him with me, and when Al-Hajjaj saw me, he said, Where is the prisoner, O Qutayba? I said, He is at the door. I brought him before the ruler, and I informed him of the story. Al-Hajjaj gave him many piercing glances, and then said to me, I give him to you as a gift. I left with him, and when we had exited from the building, I said to him, Go wherever you please. The man raised his head to the sky and said, O Allah, all praise is for you. He said nothing more and left.
She is in paradise.
Khalid ibn Safwan saw a group in the mosque of Basra, and he said, What is this gathering? He was told, There is a woman who informs men about women who are available for marriage. He went to her and said, I want to marry a woman. She said, Describe her to me. He said, I want her to be a virgin who is wise like a married woman, or a married woman who is innocent like a virgin. She should be sweet when she is near, splendid when she is at a distance. She should have lived a life of luxury and then became afflicted with poverty, so she has the manners of the rich and the humility of the poor. When we gather wealth, we should be as the people of the world, and when we become poor, we should be as the people of the hereafter. She said, I know of such a woman for you. He said, And where is she? She said, In paradise, so work to achieve her.
The Doctor and the Digger.
There was a man who had a very lazy servant. One day, he sent him to buy grapes and figs, and he took so long in returning from the errand that the master's patience was running out. The servant finally came, but he only brought one of the two items that he was originally commanded to bring. The master beat him and reproached him severely and said, When you go out to do something, you will be more productive if you try to do another task at the same time. Some days passed, and the master became sick. So he ordered his servant to bring a doctor. He took a long time to return, and when he finally did return, he brought with him a doctor and another man as well. His master asked him about the other man, and the servant said, You beat me and ordered me to do two things instead of one at a time, saying that it would be more productive. So I came to you with a doctor, and if Allah cures you, then that is fine. Otherwise, this other man will dig for you your grave, for he is a grave digger.
Begin with yourself.
A man went to Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhumah, and said, O Ibn Abbas, I want to enjoin people to do good and forbid them from doing evil. Ibn Abbas said, And have you reached that level? He said, I hope that that is so. He said, If you do not fear to be exposed by three verses of Allah's book, then do so. The man asked, And what are they? he mentioned this verse.
Enjoin you al-birr on the people, meaning piety and righteousness, and you forget to practice it yourselves.
And then asked, have you applied the implications of this verse? He said, no. Ibn Abbas then mentioned the second verse.
Why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do.
After that, he asked, have you applied the implications of this verse? He said, no. He then mentioned the third verse regarding Shu'aib, alayhi salam.
I wish not, in contradiction to you, to do that which I forbid you.
And then he asked, have you applied the implications of this verse? He said, no. Ibn Abbas said, then begin with yourself.
The quality of fulfilling one's promises is akin to a bright light.
When Hormuzan was brought as a prisoner before the Muslims, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, invited him to Islam, but he refused. Umar then ordered his execution, and when the sword was near him, he said, O leader of the believers, would that you would bring me a drink of water, for that would be better than to kill me while I am thirsty. He ordered for the water to be brought, and when it was in his hand, he said, am I safe until I drink this water? Omar said, yes. He threw the glass down and said, the quality of fulfilling one's promises, O leader of the believers, is akin to a bright light. Omar said, I will give you respite until I look into the matter further. Raise the sword from him. The prisoner then said, I now bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Omar said, woe unto you, and what made you delay? He said, I delayed, O leader of the believers, because I feared that it would be said that I only accepted Islam because I feared death. Omar said, the intellect of people from Persia is equal in weight to mountains.
Many wives.
There was a man from the Arabs who was known for always having many wives throughout his life. And it was said to him, and how were you able to keep so many? He said, when we were young, they stuck to me because of my youth. Then I had wealth, and they were patient with me because of that. When my youth and wealth parted, all that remained were my good manners. And through them, I live with my wives, and they live with me.
His dedication to knowledge.
Muzani said that it was stated to Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, how do you lust for knowledge? He replied, I hear a word of knowledge that I have not heard of before, and each one of my body parts wishes that it had the faculty of hearing, so that they too could enjoy the pleasure of hearing what my ears enjoy upon hearing new knowledge. It was further put to him, describe your eagerness to attain knowledge. He replied, it is akin to the eagerness of a striving, miserly man who seeks to achieve pleasure through hoarding wealth. It was then asked, how do you seek knowledge? Imam Shafi'i responded, I seek it like a weak woman seeks after her only child. Rabia said, I heard of Imam Shafi'i saying during an illness that of all of the books he had compiled, he wished that all of the creation learn of what those books contained without them being ascribed to him.
A profound saying of Ibn Qayyim.
Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, said, when the slave wakes up as the night encloses upon him, and his only concern is Allah and how to please and obey him, then Allah takes upon him to fulfill all of his needs and remove from him all that causes him anxiety. Allah also makes his heart free to love him only, his tongue free to remember him only, and his body free to serve him only. However, when a slave of Allah wakes up when the night encloses upon him, and his main concern is the world, Allah will make him bear the burdens of its anxiety, grief, and hardships. Allah will entrust him to his own self, and he will make his heart busy, sealing it from his love, since it will be preoccupied with love for creation. Allah will keep his tongue from his remembrance, because it will be engaged with his creation. His body will be kept from obedience, since it will be enslaved by its desires and services. And he will toil like a beast of burden toils in the service of another. And all who turn away from the worship, obedience, and love of Allah will be put into trial with the worship, service, and love for the creation. Allah the Exalted says,
"And whosoever turns away from the remembrance of the Most Gracious, Allah, we appoint for him Satan to be an intimate companion."
Ibn Qayyim continues to say, "Seek out your heart in three situations. First, when you are listening to the Quran. Second, when you are part of a gathering of remembrance. Third, when you are alone and away from the world and its distractions. If you cannot find your heart in these three situations, then ask Allah to bestow upon you a heart, for indeed you are bereft of one."
"I have traveled to the east and the west twice."
Sa'id ibn Musayyib said, "I used to travel for days and nights at a time to search out for a single hadith. Abu al-Aliya Rafi' ibn Mihrim, who died in 93 Hijra, said, "We used to hear a narration from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we were in Basra, and we were not pleased until we traveled to Al-Madinah to hear it directly from their mouths." In his book Al-Minhaj Al-Ahmad, Abu al-Yaman Al-Ulaymi Al-Hanbali said of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, as he compiled his biography, that the Imam sought out a hadith when he was only 16 years of age. He went to Kufa in the year 183 Hijra, and that was his first journey. He traveled to Basra in 186 Hijra, and to Sufyan ibn Uyayna in Mecca in the same year. It was also the first year that he performed Hajj. He went to Abdul Razak in Sana'a, Yemen, in 197 Hijra, accompanied by Yahya ibn Ma'in. The scholars traveled far and wide, suffering great hardships to seek out a hadith.
"He sinned for a long time, but then repented."
It has been related that during the time of Musa, alayhi salam, the children of Israel were afflicted with a drought. The people went to Musa and said, "O one who has spoken to Allah, invoke your Lord for us to provide us with rain." He, accompanied by the people, went out to the desert. They numbered 70,000 or more. Musa supplicated for rain and for Allah's mercy, but nothing happened, except that the sky seemed to be even drier and the sun seemed more oppressive with its heat. Musa, alayhi salam, was surprised and asked his Lord for the reason behind that. Allah inspired to him, "Indeed, among you is a slave who has been challenging me with sins for the past 40 years. Call out to the people until he comes out from among them. For because of him, you were prevented from rain." Musa said, "My Lord, I am a weak slave and my voice is weak. How can my voice convey to them when they are 70,000 or more in number?" Allah inspired to him. From you is the call, and from us is its conveyance. Musa stood as a caller and said, O sinning slave who has challenged Allah with sins for the last 40 years, come out from among us, for because of you we have been deprived of rain. The said sinner turned to the left and to the right, seeing no one coming out from among them, which made him realize that he was the one who was wanted. He spoke to himself, If I come forth from among this group of creation, then I will have exposed myself. But if I sit with them, then they will be deprived because of me. He put his head in his garment, regretting his evil deeds. He said, My Lord, I have disobeyed you for 40 years, and you have given me respite. I have come to you in obedience, so accept from me. He no sooner finished his speech than a white cloud appeared and the rain came down in abundance. Musa said, My Lord, why did you give us drink when none from among us came out? Allah said, O Musa, I have given you rain because of the same man who was the reason why I prevented you from rain. Musa said, My Lord, let me see this obedient slave. Allah said, O Musa, I did not expose him when he was disobeying me. Then do you expect me to expose him while he is obedient to me?
Words of wisdom.
Junaid was asked about thankfulness, and he said, To not use one of Allah's blessings for the purpose of disobeying him. Hassan Basri said, I met with people who deemed the world to be less important than the earth underneath their feet. One of them would own only enough sustenance to maintain his body, yet he would still say, I will give part of this in the way of Allah.
For what sin was she murdered?
It is related that when a man from the Prophet's companions fell into a continual state of depression, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, What is wrong with you that you are sad? He said, O Messenger of Allah, during the days of ignorance, I indeed perpetrated a sin so great that I fear that Allah will not forgive me. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Inform me about your sin. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I was from those who killed their daughters. He continued, Then a daughter was born to me, and my wife interceded on her behalf, pleading with me that I should leave her alone. And so I left her until she grew up and became of age. She became one of the most beautiful of women, and many proposed to her. I was overcome by a fit of fanaticism, and my heart could bear neither to marry her off, nor to leave her in the house without a husband. So I said to my wife, I want to go to such and such tribe to visit my relatives, so send her with me. She was pleased with that arrangement, and then adorned her with nice clothing and jewelry. She took many promises from me that I should not be treacherous with her. I took her to a well, and she sensed that I wanted to throw her inside. So she hugged me, crying and saying, My father, what do you wish to do to me? I had mercy on her then, but when I looked into the well, I was again overcome by a fit of fanaticism. She hugged me and said, My father, do not waste the trust of my mother. I began to look once at the well, then once at her, at which time I had mercy on her, but the Satan overcame me in the end, and I took her and threw her upside down into the well. She was calling from the well, O my father, you have killed me. I remained there until her voice broke off, and I then returned. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as his companions, cried, and he said, Had I been ordered to punish anyone for what they did during the days of ignorance, I would have punished you.
The generosity of Aisha, radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers.
Rarely throughout history has anyone possessed the generosity that Aisha, radiallahu anha, was blessed with. Two similar examples highlight that quality. On one occasion, Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, sent 1,000 dirhams to her, and on another, Ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, sent her a similar amount. On both occasions, she could not even wait until nightfall before distributing the money to the poor and needy. And on both occasions, she neglected to keep anything for herself or for her servants. After she finished distributing the money that Ibn Zubayr, radiallahu anhu, had sent to her, one of her servants came to her and said, "O mother of the believers, were you not able to have saved a single dirham from that amount so that you can buy meat for us?" Aisha, radiallahu anha, answered, "Do not be harsh with me. Had you reminded me, I would have done so."